Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's read the scripture before we pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. For you are careful to tie even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the justice and love of God. You should tie, yes, but not neglect the more important things. Amen. God told the Pharisees, you know, so they have to continue to tie. Let's pray over our tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you with the tithes. We bring our tithes, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you for all your blessings, O God. In this year, we thank you for greater blessings, increasing your blessing upon us. In the coming year, we thank you, Lord, that the seed we sow shall be multiplied to us in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Seven most important principles of prayer, part one. So prayer is a powerful tool for communication with our Heavenly Father. So as we learn to pray according to biblical principles and practice regularly, we will grow. We will grow closer because prayer is communication with God. So the more you talk to Him, you will grow closer to Him, right? Closer in fellowship with God, and our prayer becomes more and more effective because the more we pray, we become more and more effective. Amen? Right, the first principle is pray to the Father in Jesus' name. After Jesus died and rose again, we are to. Jesus taught us in John 16, 23, 24 that after His resurrection, believers should ask the Father in His name. Don't pray to Jesus anymore. So sometimes children ministry not here. They teach the children wrong thing. Pray to Jesus. That's wrong. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. It's established a new pattern of prayer under the new covenant. Right? The importance is praying in this manner aligns with God's will because that's His will. And ensures our prayers are heard and answered. It's not just a formality, but a powerful spiritual practice. Amen. A new covenant prayer. Pray to the Father under the new covenant. We are instructed to pray to the Father, not to Jesus directly. And we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name, acknowledging His role as our mediator. Right? Effective result. This approach aligns with Scripture and produces more effective results in our prayer lives. Amen. So we pray, we ask the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. When we ask the Father in Jesus' name, as if Jesus personally ask on our behalf. When we ask in Jesus' name, He answers our prayers, not because of us, because of Jesus. Amen. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's just like they come in the name of the emperor. Right? So we come before the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's why God always answers our prayer, unless it's not the will of God. He answers your prayer as if He's answering Jesus' prayer. Amen. So John 16, 23, 24, right? And that day, He was telling His disciples, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. He, the Heavenly Father. So Jesus was referring to the day He will be resurrected and they were born again. After that day of His resurrection and ascension, Jesus established the new covenant in His blood. From that day on, believers are not to pray to Jesus, but to pray to the Father in His name. And the Father will give it to you. Jesus said, the Father will give it to you. Amen. So, Jesus didn't even say, the Father will give it to me, then I'll give it to you. No, it's that direct. Right? We have such a direct relationship with the Heavenly Father. We get it directly from the Heavenly Father. Amen. So, prayer prayed to Jesus will not produce results. Whatever we ask must not violate the Word of God. Amen. So until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, and your joy will be full. Actually, I took this lesson from Brother Hagin's book, Prayer Study Guide. So sometimes it's good to go back to teach a lot of fundamentals from him, right? Then he said, you know, the scripture before this, it says, whatsoever you ask, you will receive so that your joy will be full. The Heavenly Father wants you to be full of joy. He wants to answer your prayer because He wants your joy to be full. Amen? Right? Not that He wants His children to be sorrowful and sad all the time. Every time I never get my prayer answered. Right now. So, very simple. He answers our prayers so that your joy will be full. Just like any earthly father wants the children to be happy. Correct? Huh? Where do you think you get that nature from? It's from the Heavenly Father. We have the nature of the Heavenly Father. Whether you're born again or not born again, we do have certain aspects of the Heavenly Father. It's just that, you know, some people who are not born again, they become more and more evil. They lose that nature of the Heavenly Father. So the Father's desire to answer our prayers because He loves us. God loves, motivates Him to answer our prayers. God's provision. Because He's a Father, He wants to provide. That's the reason why He provides, meets our needs and desires. And the reason why He answers prayer, because the Father wants His children to be joyful, full of His joy. Amen. To be full of His joy. So our Heavenly Father eagerly answers prayers to satisfy us, meet our needs, and fill us with joy. This reflects His loving nature and desire for our well-being. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But of course, we need to ask anything that's in line with God's word. Amen. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, He said, Jesus answering the disciples saying, have faith of God. This is Young's literal translation, having the faith of God. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the spoken word of God. So then you have the faith that's of God. Amen. When we heard from Him, we have the faith of God. Then you ask whatever you desire. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Amen. And many times you want to ask something for somebody else. They may not desire. You'll never get your answers because they don't desire. God will never force it onto somebody else if they don't desire. Amen. So when you desire, we pray, right? First thing, whatever you desire. One, pray. Second, believe. Believe what? That you receive, and you shall have it. Amen. This must be the sequence. One, two, and three. You must believe. Amen. You must pray. The moment you pray, you must believe you receive. You don't wait till you receive, then you believe. When you receive, there's no need to believe. Amen. Then you must believe you have it. That's why it's called faith. You believe something you don't see. You believe something you don't see, you have it yet. But you must believe you receive it. Amen. Once you have faith, that's why you have the faith of God. Once you have the faith of God, right? Once you pray, you believe you receive. Amen. And you must believe, then it will come. Then you will receive it, right? This is a New Testament prayer, the prayer of faith. Thank you, Jesus. So, principle number two, believe you receive when you pray. Now, the first principle is you pray in Jesus' name. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. Number two, believe you receive when you pray. Okay, now you pay attention to this, okay? So immediate faith, believe you have received the moment you ask in prayer. Then you give thanks. Thanksgiving. You believe you receive. We don't wait for you to receive. You don't wait for Christmas. But you give thanks after you pray, after you believe you receive. Thank God for the answer even before seeing the manifest. Thirdly, then you anticipate. Have the anticipation. That's how you maintain your faith and expectation for physical manifestation, for physical result. So there must be anticipation that you will receive what you prayed for. So therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Amen. Pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. You cannot wait until you have them. You believe, oh, I believe, right? You cannot wait until you receive, then you give thanks to God, right? So be sure to believe you receive before you receive it. Be sure to believe you receive it before you receive it. You believe something you don't see yet. Amen. You believe in Jesus. Have you seen Him? No. Now, this is very important. Keeping what you have received by faith. Now, this is after you receive physically. You keep it by faith. Amen. Now, keeping what you have received by faith. After you receive, you better keep it by faith. If not, you can lose it. Right? And before we go into this, 2% has told me that the boss told them that you're going to be promoted. Yeah, I should have said this when we have number one, first principle, ask the Father in Jesus' name. Even though your boss has indicated to you that you're going to be promoted in the coming year, ask the Father in Jesus' name for your promotion. And believe now. If you don't ask the Father, that means you rely on your boss. Oh, you look to your boss. Oh, my boss said I'll be promoted. It depends. You know, because of your hard work, your boss will look in favor of you. Boss can change anytime. The devil whack when you finish. Right? Ask the Father. In Jesus' name. Then you're not looking to your boss. You always look to God. Even though God used man to promote you, but you always look to God. You always thank God. Amen. If you have not, you better quietly, under the breath of your mouth, ask right now. Ask the Father for your promotion and thank the Father for your promotion. Amen. Then after, when you're promoted, keeping what you have received by faith. Amen. You think, oh my God, I work so hard, your boss promote you. I mean, somebody intercept money, you won't get it. So be very careful. So you learn to rely on God, trust God wholeheartedly. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you receive by faith. Initially, you believe and receive through prayer. That means you receive already. Maintain by faith. Continue to believe and stand firm in what you have received. You get promoted, I'm telling you, God promotes you, the devil will sure try to mess with you. You better maintain it. Not maintain and do nothing and be lazy. Of course, you still have to perform. More than perform. Amen. I was telling somebody, you know, in the past, I know there's some guy, I'll never promote them. They just want to do their job within their job scope. They don't want to do more than that. But if you do more, then, you know, every time you do more as a boss, I will look out, watch out for you, like, you know, right now. I need you around because you always do more beyond your job scope. If you just go by your job description, no, that's not my job description. That's not my job description. Get rid of those mentality. Right now. Yeah, I can't do anything. Legally, you're right. But you know what? When it comes to promotion, I won't have you in mind. But when it comes to retrenchment, I have you in mind. Right now. So you maintain by faith. Continue to believe and stand firm in what you have received. You maintain. How you maintain? You thank God. You say, Lord, you are the one who... Book of Psalms, there's one scripture that says promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. You thank Him. Right or not? So you continue to believe and stand firm in what you receive. Then resist any doubt. You know, anybody trying to take away your whatever, you resist it. So we have to keep what we have received by faith. In other words, we believe we receive it, and now we actually receive it. You know, in the past, a pastor prayed for me for the job. When I got his job, and 6 months later, they quit. Because he got a boss he couldn't handle. One moment, you want to ask God for a job. Next moment, you quit without asking God. I said it last week already. Especially you finish 4 or 5 years after university, you're still very junior. You go higher up in the corporate world, you're going to have a CEO. He definitely knows more than you. He's more experienced than you. And you probably don't like the way he works. He will probably tell you you don't like, you'll be told what to do. You better get used to it. Because yeah, I'm the CEO, I'm more experienced than you. I can see there's going to be a problem ahead. I will tell you. I will tell you off. Right? Don't quit just because, you know, some boss tell you off. Very simple, you know. You're not going to always have the boss you like. So what you do is you submit, means you yield your way to his ways. What submission? Means you yield your way to my ways, lah. Amen? You know, the benefit of submit now, concerning jobs, you don't have to submit to me. But you know, some people, they'll just lay down before me. And I can tell, you know, in the prayer group, I can tell whether you should take that lateral movement or you shouldn't take. And today, when the person explained to me, draw me the... I like to draw organization chart. I can see it better. When I draw, I say, no, better don't go. I say, you just confirm what I have on Friday night. Right? So what the person is doing is, he's not asking me what he should do. He's just submitting to another opinion. You know, of course, I use my spirit to listen. Lah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, after university, 4 or 5 years, you're still junior. You're going to handle a new boss, whatever, change a boss. You move up, it's going to be worse. Okay? Because if I'm the CEO of the bank, I have tremendous pressure, right? I'm not going to let you mess it up. I will sure tick you off and tell you off. Right or not? So we have to keep what we have received by faith. Now listen very carefully. All you will ever receive from God and keep will be that which you believe for yourself. Amen. Let me just repeat. All you will ever receive from God and keep. There are a lot of people receive, they lose it. They lost it. Right now. I show you an example. Judas Iscariot. I mean, he has the highest calling. 12 apostles of the Lamb. Nobody else could take that place. Nobody else can replace the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He was apostle of the Lamb. He stepped into his calling. He stepped into the plan of God. You know what happened to him? Judas is killed. He's in hell. Okay? I told one of the students, don't tell me about what the plan I prayed for you last year when you came. Right? I said, you better come and finish it. And don't go and run with those bunch of them who teach all the rubbish. Right? I said, Judas is killed. 3.5 years for Jesus. In the end, what happened? He ended up in hell. So all you will ever receive from God and will keep will be to that which you believe for yourself. And you will take faith to maintain what you receive after you have received it. So you better know your promotion is from the Lord. Amen. You haven't stepped into it yet, but your boss already told you. Right now. You will take faith to maintain what you receive. Told you you'll be promoted already, right? So just believe it and maintain it with your faith. It takes faith to maintain what you receive after you have received it. If you don't have faith to maintain it, you won't keep it. Satan will try to take it from you. Now, this is especially true using this example with healing. Some people lose the healing they had received from God. Let me tell you something. Why some people died? They went and see another doctor. They come back and say, oh, I heard that before. Tell me the same thing. Attitude problem. The doctor is still alive. That person is dead. Eh? Yeah. Oh, I heard before. Oh, you tell me nothing new. I heard that. That's the same thing. You don't have faith to maintain, you won't keep it or lose it, especially healing. Why people lose their healing? People who receive their healing by someone else's faith or were healed by mass faith. Means what? You benefit, come, you go to that meeting, you get healed. Corporate faith or mass faith. Or all the people attending the healing meeting. But in many cases, those people fail to develop their own faith. And when the symptoms try to return, they just accepted the symptoms. And the sickness or disease came back on them. They did not develop their faith to keep what they received. Another example is when people embark on the path the Lord directed them, they were in God's plan and will. Along the way, they did not keep going in the direction the Lord had directed them by faith and deviated into something else. We should, by faith, stay on the path or in the direction the Lord has directed. That's why when people come and see me, unless I sense it, I'll tell them, don't quit. Don't quit before you find another job. You understand? And you should know by now, I don't say things to please you. Amen? So we should, by faith, stay on the path or in the direction the Lord has directed. For example, you know, Chloe is one of them, wanted to study abroad in criminology. The father was concerned. He wanted to join the police force. I look at him, police force. Okay, yeah. John wants to be a fighter pilot. I was thinking, sure or not. But it takes faith to stay on that path that God puts in your spirit. Amen. Right? The mother was concerned, oh, your glory shouldn't study. Do not take care of yourself. One day we were going to purposely go to her house and check her room. And no, quite clean. And she's okay now. Right? She's good in language. She's good in subjects like psychology and all that. She's doing very good right now. You insist your sons and daughters be doctors and what? And that's not their forte, it's not their calling. I was in the army, reservist. And that's quite long ago. This guy, he blamed his father. He said, my father made me study civil engineering because, wow, Singapore construction boom. Well, the recession hit, he was out of job. He became a broker, remiser. In the army together, he still blamed his father, no? He said, it's my father's fault. Make me study civil engineering. I'm out of job. But he became a reminder. He made good money, but he still blamed his father. So keep your healing by believing and confessing you have received your healing and you are healed. Do not entertain any thoughts, right? So especially when you receive your healing, do not entertain any. Now, after you physically, you're well already. Do not entertain any thoughts that the sickness has come back. Resist it in the name of Jesus. Hold fast to your confession, saying, I'm healed, and I refuse to accept the sickness that the devil's trying to put back on me. Meditate on healing scriptures and pray much in the known tongues to continue to build and strengthen your spirit, mind, and body. You will lose your healing when you confess that sickness has come back. That's how people lose their healing. They say, oh, see, it came back to me. This came back to me, that came back. That's how you lose your healing. Oppression. How, after free from oppression, keep your mind free of oppression by believing and confessing you are delivered from oppression after you are prayed for. Say, no, devil, you cannot put oppression on my mind. Meditate on scriptures and pray much in your own tongues to continue to build and strengthen your spirit, mind, and body. Then after that, you're going to find somebody else to minister to. Pray for others. Don't just think about yourself. People who are in depression are always about themselves. Meditate on the scriptures and pray much in your own tongues to continue to build your spirit, soul, and body, mind, and body. Go and minister to others or give out. Fellowship with others, pray in small groups, keep yourself occupied with work or other things. Pull your mind from those oppressive thoughts and think of good and joyful ones. Do not close yourself in a dark room, especially go out into the sun, get some sunlight. Vitamin D will help. Amen? And all you will keep in life is what you believe for yourself based on God's word. Amen? You're not going to get yourself out from the natural, right? In the natural world can help you. If not, all you will keep in life is what you believe for yourself based on God's word. Amen. That's why it's very important that I constantly teach and remind. Amen. So examples of maintaining faith in healing. Resist returning symptoms by confessing your healing. Concerning direction in life, stay on the path God has directed even when challenged. Mental health, keep your mind free from oppression through faith and confession. And think away from those kind of thoughts. Amen? Praise God. And to keep what you receive by faith is your personal responsibility. Personal faith. You need to develop and exercise your own faith. Some people, I know, for years, they have never really grown. You need to develop and exercise your own faith. You need to use your faith. Right, how do you use your faith, especially for healing your children sick? Don't straight away think of going to the doctor. You pray first, then go to the doctor. You just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? And the same, don't just say, oh, my boss said promote me, we forgot about God. No, ask Him. Amen? Agreement, align your faith with others and with God's word. Amen? Your faith, you are not aligned with God's word. You actually don't have faith. Maintenance. It's your responsibility. Consistently hold fast to what you have learned. Amen. Don't lose. That's why last Friday, I just took some of them, ex-students off. After graduate 12 years, still mess around with those. There's some preachers coughed out unclean things. I say, you know, John 15, verse 3, Jesus said, the word I preach to you, you are clean. In John chapter 1, verse 1, said, in the beginning was God. God was with the word. God was the word. And Jesus said, when I preach the word, you are clean. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus continues cleanses us, till not cleaner. You need to cough out unclean things. Look at the rubbish. Huh? Look at the preachers who want to come and get an offering from you guys. Cough out unclean things. And 1 Corinthians tells us, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's temple is unclean. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of God, so your body is cleaner. Temple of God is uncleaner. It has a sinful nature, but it still is clean. Amen? So you're going to listen to this bunch, go to China and say, spirit, soul, and body is perfect. Since when our spirit, soul, and body are perfect? Our spirit is perfect, our body is not perfect. The only one spirit, soul, and body is perfect was Jesus when He was on earth. Amen? So, we teach this scriptural truth so that you can begin to believe and hold fast to that which you have learned. So you remember one thing. After you receive, you need to keep what you have received by faith. In other words, you cannot go away from faith. You cannot go away from faith, church, because you need to constantly hear so that your faith will be refreshed. Amen? Especially you receive through prayer. Man. So Mark 11:24 is primarily an individual faith affair. How can I permanently help someone else with my faith if the other person doesn't exercise his faith to receive from God? I cannot help you. Amen. You have to use your faith. Else, I cannot help you with my faith. That person won't be able to receive. I won't be able to help him. That person won't be about to receive it. Even I pray the prayer of faith because his lack of faith will nullify my faith. When praying for someone else, the other person's faith can nullify the faith of one praying. No, unbeliever is different, okay? Unbeliever and baby Christians, okay, you know, unbelievers won't nullify your faith. You can always use your faith to help the unbelievers. So Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? Two of us couldn't walk together in faith unless we were in agreement with God's word. Amen. It's very important. Right now, I cannot pray for you. Because Matthew 18, verse 19 says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, how agree? How to agree if you don't agree? All right? If you were praying with one another, another person, for that person's need to be met, and the person was not in faith, then we will not be in agreement with God's word. That person's unbelief will nullify the effects of my faith. Sometimes you may not have faith. You want to pray agreement, just switch to neutral gear. Let me believe and just agree with me. If I believe and you don't believe, not in agreement. Amen. So even though people can sometimes temporarily receive something through someone else's faith, especially if they are baby Christians, if they listen to the devil's lies, they'll lose it. One person's unbelief nullifies the effect of the other person's faith in prayer of agreement. So you need to know the word for yourself and learn how to develop your faith. That's how you maintain the blessings of God in your life. You don't lose it. Amen. You may not lose your wealth. You may lose your health. Amen. So you better develop your own faith. Amen. That's how you maintain the blessing of God in your life. Then when the devil tries to defeat you, you can resist him with the word, with your faith in God's word. We all can lose it. I was just going through this book, Prayer Study Guide. One pastor told Brother Hagin off. He said, you lost it. He got offended. No, I didn't lose it. He said, you lost it. See, sometimes you lose it and you don't even know. You think you're spiritual. You lose it, you don't even know. And then you went back, ding, ding, ding. Then he went to ask him. He told him, say, yeah. You know, you lost it. Very subtle. He made the adjustment. And he just went back and believed God for a move of God in his meeting. The next service, he went into, man, miracle signs and wonder. He lost it, he didn't even know. I said it before, eh? People in pride, they won't know they're in pride because you're so proud. Huh? And if you're in pride, you don't listen to others. Only others can see, others can tell you. But you're in pride, you don't listen to others, that's worse. Other people cannot tell you. Right now. Avoid faith detractors, natural distractions. Be aware of everyday pulls away from faith. I mean, this cannot be helped because we all live in the natural world. Most of the time you're in the workplace or in the natural world. Not careful, it pulls us away from our faith. And very subtle. Amen. Beware of everyday pulls away from faith. Second, church influence. Ensure your church builds, not diminish faith. You know, they go to the kind of service, they say, you know, you need to cough out unclean things. I pray for you, cough out unclean things. So you wonder what unclean. So you cough, nothing. Right? No demons, so there'll be demons. It get into you. And they say, oh man, I cast out, man, you need to cough out a demon. Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out a demon. His name not enough. In the word of faith, the one of the basic cause we teach is the believer's authority. Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out demons. In my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, you'll cast out demons. You need to cough the demon, then leave. Huh? So they never get rooted. And then they go invite all kinds of rubbish preachers to come and preach. And then they begin to lose their faith in the name of Jesus. Right? Thirdly, false teaching. Guard against practices that contradict scriptures. Amen. Fourthly, spiritual warfare. This term has been abused. I very seldom like to use this term. But there is a spiritual warfare going on in the realm of the spirit. First and second realm. But rely on Jesus' name, not physical actions. Nothing else deal with demons except the name. Amen. Others are all side issues. When the demons were coughed out, were there people who coughed? Yes. You got COVID, then you cough also what? But was the cough the demon? No, the COVID is the COVID. Why not? So it's not that you cough the demon leave. Because the demon leave that stir you up, you cough. You see the difference? But it's the name that caused him to leave. And he must leave. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So do not allow anything to draw us away from faith. Before we pray, we have faith to believe that we will receive. After we pray, we believe we receive. everything around us in this natural world is trying to pull us back to walk by natural human sense knowledge instead of by spiritual faith. Many times, everything in your everyday life is so natural that it will pull you back into walking in the natural instead of walking by faith. So if you are not careful, the church will can, I mean, those churches can also try to do, and sometimes the message preached is not for you, sometimes it's for some of those who are listening in on Zoom. So if you are not careful, the church you go to can also try to do that. Some churches take faith out of you instead of putting faith into you. Wrong teaching and practices will also take faith away from you. Amen. It's a very subtle thing, right? So, when you want to graduate, by 12 years, you know, you invite a preacher who tell them you need to cough out unclean things. So, it tells me that this person, after 12 years, has never really developed his foundation on the believer's authority. Amen. And this kind of thing will draw people away from faith. They all look, draw towards, oh man, this preacher, we need to cough it out. We need to cough it out. Your focus no longer on the name of Jesus. Your faith no longer on the name of Jesus, except that manifestation. Oh yeah, there's, what there? Of course, the devil will manifest. Then you look, oh yeah, man, it's real, man. No. Amen. They will look to all these natural practices instead of believing the word of God, the will of God. Jesus said, name of Jesus. You will cast it out. Therefore, it nullifies your faith. Third principle, forgive if you have ought against any. Prerequisite for effective prayer, forgiveness is an essential for effective prayer in life. So what you should do, guard your heart. Avoid harboring bitterness, envy, or revenge. And we ought to follow Christ's example. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Amen. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Right? So no one can have a defective prayer life and have anything in his heart towards another. You cannot have revenge or hatred in your life, any grudges or ill will in your heart, and you will hinder your faith. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Sometimes it's difficult to guard. Sometimes it can't because it's demonic. So the impact of unforgiveness, you block your prayers. Unforgiveness hinders faith and blocks prayer effectiveness. 2, you stagnate spiritually. Spiritual stagnation. It can stall your spiritual growth and prayer life. Thirdly, you have physical effect. Bitterness can even impact your physical well-being. You develop into sickness. So you have to guard your mind and emotions. Do not allow root of bitterness, a bit of envy, or a bit of revenge to get into your heart. You will wreck your spiritual life. It will stall your prayer life. It will stifle, block, and render your faith ineffective. It will eventually shipwreck your body. Amen. So it's very deadly, right? Paul said through the Holy Ghost in Ephesians 4:32, instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ Jesus has, continuous present tense, has forgiven you and still forgiving. That's why the blood continues to cleanse. So don't let the root of bitterness grow in your heart because you have refused to forgive someone who has offended you. Follow the word of God's command to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. As we do, we will keep the channels open for our prayers to be answered and the blessings of God to come into our lives. Amen. Biblical commands of forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness will poison your body. You'll develop sickness and disease. Deadly. Poisonous root of bitterness grow up to trouble you, corrupting many. Others will be corrupted because of your bitterness. Amen. James 3:14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Right? Verse 14, 15. This wisdom, this bitterness, descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Here they talk about there's wisdom that's from the devil. There's God's wisdom, man's wisdom, devil's wisdom. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. In other words, you open the door for demonic spirit to come in, right? Amen? When there's bitter envying and strife, you open the door for the devil to come in among you. So the dangers of bitterness, personal impact. Bitterness can poison your spiritual life, hinders your prayer, and affect your physical health. It's crucial to guard against letting a root of bitterness grow in your heart. Community impact. Hebrews 12:15 warns that a root of bitterness can trouble you and corrupt many. It's not just a personal issue, but affect those around you. Those around you means who? Your children. Amen. First person to suffer is your children. Many years ago, I haven't been to Bible school. I was just a cell group leader. There was a district pastor. I forgot what he said, but it was demonic. Wow, man, it cuts into my soul. No, man, that kind of hurt is not just verbal. It's spiritual. So every time I think of him, the emotion will come up. The emotion will come up. And the only way out of this is the scripture says, pray for those who despitefully use you, persecute you. So I purposely closed my eyes and looked at his face. And this was a pastor. I looked at his face. Of course, I'm with my eyes closed. And how to pray? Pray blessing. The only way to pray is unknown tongues. Right now. When you pray unknown tongues, you're praying by the Holy Spirit. Correct? Now? So you cannot pray evil. The only way to pray good, but my mind doesn't want to pray good over him. Right now. So pray in unknown tongues. Pray until the emotion is gone. I know. I'm okay. When I think of him again, I don't have that anymore. See? Another time is 2002. And because what happened, I almost died. Because it's spiritual. I don't have that bitterness, but it's so detrimental that bitterness is easy to get out. You keep praying for the person, you come out. But this is so spiritual, it comes against. And on and off, I'll see a coffin, you know. I'll see a coffin. I said, I don't know who is this for. I better pray for that person. Then one day, no, this is someone that's for you. And I knew I only passed 50 years old. No? And I tell you, it's not for the mercy of God. Then every time Rema has a retreat, I went. Rema retreat, that time Patsy and Tony were director of Rema. He would invite speakers. Every time, every seminar, he will lay hands. I'll go up to be lay hands. This sort of thing, you slowly have to walk out of it. Every year, you know, I went to the retreat of lay hands, and then the last one was, the Lord said, you better go back to July, because I guess, you know, when you're bitter, you don't even know. I refused to go back to U.S. for the Winter Bible Seminar. Every year, I went back, except that year, I didn't go. And that year, the Winter Bible was in February, the anointing was so strong. The strongest just before he died, and I didn't know the Brother Higgins was going to die that year. And every year I went back, except that year I refused to go back. Sometimes it's very subtle, you get bitter, you refuse to go back. I don't want to go back, and almost missed it. And God said, you better go back in July. There's another, call it a summer camp meeting, you know. You better go back. I said, all right, I went. And normally that one I don't go on. And I went back, you know, Thursday night, the shaft of light came down from heaven, hit me, boom, like that. That's how I began to walk out of it. That's 2003. Now, September he died. Brother Higgins died in September. I went in July. You had to go a finito. You won't see me standing here today. Right? And many a times it's like this. Something happened in your past, in your childhood days, or don't know what. You have a bad father, bad mother. You don't walk out of it. You know what you do? You compensate. You know what I mean by compensate? Because you don't have love from your parents, you don't have care from your parents, you pour your love and care on your son, your daughter. You are doing the child more harm than good. You try to compensate, you overcompensate. I know of a family in China. This man came from a very good family. The mother is head of a research institute. Father is very high up in the rank. But they spoil him. Everything. When he grew up, he got married. He'll go back to the mother's place. He'll leave the family somewhere else. One day, the wife brought the son, went to his home, visit his parents. The son said, "Hey, father's so big already, the mother still do that for him." The son could say that. He doesn't know how to care for the family. He's selfish. He doesn't know how to love. He just leave the son with the wife. He just stay with his parents for 2-3 months and no phone call, nothing. A lot of veterans who have this kind of problem are PTSD. Something traumatic happened to you during your childhood. Now, Abraham was like that. He didn't use the word traumatic experience. He said, when I was 9 years old, my grandmother said, "You watch over your mother. If she runs into the kitchen, take a knife, you better call grandma." Because the mother is so depressed until she's trying to kill herself, she didn't even know. You know why? Because it's demonic. He said, you know, after I saw mother ran to the kitchen, he will run to go and call grandma. He said, in a 9-year-old, do you know what it does? It does something to you. He didn't say, "I had a traumatic childhood experience." But he became very successful because of the word that he taught us. There's no other psychologist who won't help you. Only God. You had a bad childhood, compensate on your children. You think you're doing it. "I don't have love, I care." So I, what, poor man. You're spoiling him. Hey, he doesn't know how to care for others. He doesn't become selfish. Doesn't know how to take care of all about himself. You go to work where there's teamwork. All he cares about himself. Finish. Right now. There's a little thing only run to the mother. Little thing run to the mother. Because all along, you're since kid like that, you're always little thing run to you. Right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the power of forgiveness in prayer, effective prayer, your prayer will be effective. Forgiveness opens channels for answered prayer. It may help you to maintain your spiritual health. It maintains a healthy spiritual life. Amen. Protects you, guards you against confusion and evil. By embracing forgiveness, we align ourselves with God's will, enhance our prayer life, protect our spiritual well-being. Remember, where there is forgiveness, there is clarity and the power of effective prayer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Sora menchke dembras dure menchke nangaya. So menchke mihono. Ora beske dembra stobre keske denge stobro. You know, I came across a person this person was young, in the early 20s, working in one of the companies, not very high up, actually quite low level. But this person always complained about the boss. And the boss, the one who started the company, as if this person know better, always complain. You're not even up there, you know. And the boss, the one who started the company, and doing good, eventually quit, 20-something. When you go to the big church, complain about the pastor as if you know better. And for many years later, they're completely there. That means the boss is okay, you are not. Why not? Huh? I said it last week, you know. Sometimes y'all think you know what's happening out there. CEO won't tell you what's going on. Right? Amen. You won't know everything that's going on. Sora menchke nembra, store betchke nehe. Some people complain as if they know everything. But the higher you go, you know you. Huh? Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Within just a few days, you know, 2% told me, the boss told me that they're going to promote me next year. And the other one said, the boss, just working something else, want to promote the person. Now, this thought is not in my notes. I told you already, you better ask God. In Jesus' name, for the promotion. And believe. After you're promoted, keep your promotion. Keep with faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Sora menchke dembras dore betskenehe. Sama sora mangaiha totene. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sim rostu kora mangangeya. Soremenske nigamanga. Tontenehi. Thank you, Father. So solemenske dichnahi. So the baihai. So the maihai. Somble stela manzo baihai. Brobode menske dichmere etske maihai. Sonde simske naido. Dombra stongi.